Welcome to Pedo Teeth Talk, brought to you by the American Academy of Pediatric Dentistry, a podcast show that delivers cutting-edge ideas for the professionals specializing in pediatric dentistry.
Thank you for tuning in to Pedo Teeth Talk. Today's show is brought to you by DMG America, a world leader in dental materials technology. My name is Joel Berg from the University of Washington, and today I'm here with Dr. Rick Chait, a board-certified pediatric dentist from Scottsdale, Arizona. We are here today to discuss resin infiltration and understand how the product ICON works. So, Rick, thank you for joining me today. I'm going to just start out with just a basic question about this resin infiltration, this ICON. Can I really fill without drilling? I didn't learn that in dental school.
Yeah, Joel, it's actually, this product has been out for roughly about 9 years now. And unfortunately, most dental schools, to my knowledge, are still not teaching this. As you know, I'm teaching at a nonprofit, so I teach the senior dental students at both schools here. And they're amazed when they come to our clinic that we're using resin infiltration because they've never heard of it. And they constantly say, this looks like a board lesion. And when they say that, of course, I cringe because we're trying to treat these with non-surgical intervention for the best interests of our patients.
So what is resin infiltration? Can you tell me what this thing is?
ICON is basically, it's a non-surgical technique to treat incipient smooth surface caries on permanent teeth by placing an infiltrating resin that strengthens, stabilizes, and limits the progression of the lesion.
Okay. So Rick, I wonder how this ICON works. I know you've told me that the largest or most prevalent lesion in one's practice is the W, the watch, you know, these ones that are too small to cut in one's view, but maybe you want to do something. So how does ICON work in that situation? What do you actually do?
Well, we use it for two different procedures, basically for interproximal lesions on permanent teeth and facial lesions also on permanent teeth. So if you'd like, I can go through how we treat the teeth and what comes in the kit.
Let's talk about the interproximal first. So I have a, let me give you the situation because I think this is what you've told me about a lot. And I've experienced this myself. I have a small interproximal lesion, class 2 lesion it's called. Maybe it's just at the DEJ radiographically on the bite wing. Let's say it's the mesial of tooth number 19, okay, the mandibular left permanent first molar. And it's like two-thirds of the way through the enamel, let's say, but not touching the DEJ yet. So I decided, well, it's there. I'm going to watch it, but I want to do something. So how does resin infiltration ICON help me in that situation? What are you going to do in that situation?
Well, I'm going to discuss with the parent, you know, the options that we have of treating that lesion non-surgically. So we like to use resin infiltration in our practice. So I'll go through the technique. And basically what we'll do, if the patient wants to try it, we'll place a separator that visit. We use an orthodontic separator. And this allows us to actually visualize a lesion after about a week. You know, we leave it in for about a week. So when the patient comes back, we can actually visualize a lesion, make sure it's not cavitated, which is really nice. It also allows us to get the apparatus that we use, and I'll describe that later if you like, how to get that in between the teeth.
Okay, so you're separating the teeth at that first visit, and my understanding is that it doesn't take an extra visit because you've identified this lesion at an initial exam or at a recare visit. So at that time, you would place this orthodontic separator. Is that right?
Correct. And the kit that you get from the company, it includes three tubes. There's one tube of etchant, which is 15% hydrochloric acid, a tube of alcohol, which is a drying agent, and of course, a tube of resin, which we place into the surface of the tooth. And they give you an applicator, which is kind of like a Mylar little packet that has holes on one side of the packet that allows the materials to diffuse into the tooth.
So you've separated at the previous visit. The patient now comes back at this next visit, and that's when you're going to perform the ICON procedure, right?
Correct. And so the first thing we'll do is remove the separator, try to check the tooth surface, and place a rubber dam. And okay. In our practice, we use clamps, like a pedo clamp that's a flat clamp. So most of the time, believe it or not, we don't even have to use local or even topical anesthetic to place a clamp. We just use flat clamps. We're very gentle. and then we place a rubber dam.
So I understand, Rick, when you use the ICON procedure, you don't administer local anesthetic most of the time. Is that right?
Yeah, well over 90% of the time, we don't have to do local anesthetic of any type.
Your patients probably don't disagree with that.
No, they like that. And then the procedure is basically, once we're comfortable with the procedure, we'll place the etchant in the tooth in the packet, and it has to sit there for a couple minutes. Then we rinse it out, and we place the alcohol on the tooth, and we dry that for about 30 seconds. And in our practice, just so you know, we have two different type of water syringes. We have water air syringe, and we have a plain air syringe. And we always use the air syringes for all of our sealants because we found our success rate is much better with using dry air.
Okay, so you want to make sure there's no moisture in the air whatsoever, so you have a separate, very dry air syringe.
Yeah, this technique is very sensitive to moisture, so that's why you really have to use a rubber dam on all your cases. So after we place the alcohol, it's dry, then we place our resin infiltrant into this tooth, and we let it sit there for 3 minutes. We take it out, we'll floss the surface to make sure there's not extra material, we'll light cure it, and then we place it back again, the resin, for another minute. And the company just wants to make sure there's no little micro air bubbles in there. So we really want this tooth sealed very well and the resin infiltrating the tooth. We take it, leave it for another minute, floss again, light cure, and we're done.
That sounds pretty easy. Would your staff describe it as a pretty simple routine procedure?
Yeah, it's very easy. And as a matter of fact, depending on your state laws, I mean, what your staff in Arizona... our staff is pretty much allowed to do this type of procedure because it's not a surgical intervention. So our staff, with training, they can do these.
That's very nice. So back real quick to the drying part and the rubber dam need that you talk about. My understanding is, as by design, this ICON resin is extremely hydrophobic because you wanted to get it to flow into this lesion, this porous area of the lesion. And you access the lesion by this etchant with the hydrochloric acid, as you described, and then you're drying it with water and then with alcohol, so it's really dry. So now you have the rubber dam, it's dry, and you want to make sure it's going to wick in the infiltration. So that's why I use the dry air, because you want it very dry to accept this hydrophobic material. Is that correct?
Yes, it really works by capillary action. So instead of a sealant, for example, being on the outside of the tooth, the resin is on the inside of the tooth, and many studies have shown it goes almost all the way to the DEJ, depending on how deep the lesion goes. So it really non-surgically fills your lesion with the resin, which is wonderful.
So basically, you have this lesion that we started with, this small class 2 lesion interproximally between on this molar in this case, and when you've completed this procedure, you're now left with a lesion that is filled with a resin and polymerized, so it sort of halts the progression of the lesion. That's the idea. Is that right?
Absolutely.
And what has been your experience? I think you told me, if I'm not mistaken, Rick, you've done hundreds of these in your practice?
Yeah, we've done many hundreds. We were probably one of the first practitioners to start using this. I have a philosophy myself that I don't like to do surgical intervention on permanent teeth unless, you know, it's a large, like a D2 lesion that's pretty well into dentin. I've always tried not to treat those lesions. That's just my own personal philosophy. So we've had great success. And from day one, we've kept a spreadsheet on every patient that we've treated so we can go back and check. And that's how we kept our records. So that's how we know our success rate. So we've got data from about 4 years now. And anything that we treated into enamel is 98% successful in our practice. In other literature studies, they've had success rates, and all of them about 95%, which is fabulous.
So when you say success, you mean that the lesion hasn't progressed any further. It's stable in its current form. That's your idea of success. Is that right?
Yes. Yeah, we check them. Initially, when we started, we checked it every 6 months because we really weren't sure how this product worked, quite frankly. And we wanted to make sure that we didn't miss anything with our patients.
Wow.
But after 2 or 3 years of doing this, yeah, we found that they just don't change.
Wow.
So we went back to a regular radiographic schedule, like normal, like a year and a half on most x-rays now.
How have your patients accepted this? Parents, I should say.
They love it. Well, the parents love it. The kids, you know, like most teenagers, they don't get it 100%. But the parents get it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we don't have trouble selling it to them. Basically, I'd simply ask the mom, how many fillings and how many crowns do you have in your mouth? And they look at me and they go through the whole story. And they're talking about their child now. So by and large, it's not really hard to convince them that this might stop your child from having a filling. And then, you know, 10, 15 years later, like in your mouth, you end up with a crown. So we're trying to prevent that.
Well, sounds fantastic. I want to shift gears. You mentioned there two different scenarios in which you could use this resin infiltration Icon product. We just talked about the interproximal on the posterior area, which would be used for premolars or molars. What about the anterior area? You've mentioned to me about after orthodontic treatment, these white spots that occur because of plaque around brackets. I understand that Icon can be used to correct those immediately. Is that right?
Absolutely. Yeah, this is the field where most dentists are using it, is for treating facial lesions, which is cosmetic, and the patients can actually see what's going on. So we do a lot of that. And since it is cosmetic, one important thing that you need to do is make sure you take pre-op and post-op photographs of your patients beforehand. So you have it for the record. It's very important to do that.
So if we could walk through the procedure. So I'm going to give you a scenario. So I'm a patient of yours, and I just completed my orthodontic treatment. The brackets were just removed a week ago, and now, you know, I have these beautifully straightened teeth, but I'm left with these white spots, gingival or incisal to the where the bracket was located, because perhaps I didn't brush as well as I should have. And now I have this sort of white demineralization, which is actually a Caries lesion technically. So how does Icon work in that situation? Tell me what you do and whether some of the conditions of performing the procedure in the first place.
Okay, well, the first thing we're going to do is make sure the oral hygiene of the patient is good, because if the braces are just off, you know they're going to bleed. So we'll talk to the patient, get informed consent with the parent, what we're going to do and how we're going to do the procedure, and have a quick check with the patient, maybe in a couple weeks, to make sure that their oral health is great. We'll also ask the patient if they're interested in bleaching, because if they are, we'd like to bleach, for example, before we would do the resin infiltration. But if everything is good and everything is normal, then we'll, you know, schedule the patient for the technique. And let me just go through, you know, how we do it. Say, for example, we're going to be doing facial surfaces of 7, 8, 9, and 10, which is pretty common.
Okay.
We have to place a rubber dam on the tooth, and it has to be a really good punched rubber dam, like the good old days in dental school, because you have to retract the tissue and protect the tissue from the acid, because you're going to be using the etch interproximally is 2 minutes. The etch on the facial surface may be 4, 5, or 6 minutes, because it takes a long time to get rid of the white staining sometime on the teeth.
So you're going to do it for, I'm sorry, you're going to do it 5 or 6 minutes all at once, or are you going to do it for the 2 minutes and then look and see what happens and then do it again?
Well, we'll usually do it for 2 to 3 minutes at first. And if we feel, after we rinse it off, if we feel that we're not getting good results, sometimes I'll put a little bit in a Dappen dish and put a little flour of pumice in there and take a slow speed and just try to remove. It's basically like microabrasion. You got to get rid of the white spots on the surface of the tooth. So we'll try that first. If we can't get rid of the white spots, it may take a little bit more work. And this is where the artwork comes into, just like you're doing a bonding. This is where the dentist has to work on the tooth sometimes to make sure that they get rid of as much white as possible.
So you want to do that before you go to the next step, even with the alcohol. So you would do this several times, perhaps, in the case of the anterior white spot, before you go to the next step of desiccating.
Correct. And so basically, the way you know that you remove enough enamel is you place a drop of alcohol on the tooth surface. And when liquid alcohol is on the surface, that's what it's going to look like, because the resolution of the alcohol is very similar to the resin infiltration material. So when it looks good with the alcohol, then you can infiltrate the surface with the resin.
That's a good tip. So once you've gotten that far, and you said it might take 2 or 3 applications of the acid in most cases, is that right?
Yeah, correct. You just have to stop if you feel that you're making the surface concave. There's a point where you just have to stop and feel comfortable with the result that you're going to get. And I guarantee you it's going to be way better than what you started with.
So you've applied the etchant, you've gotten the alcohol in there, and you can see that it's looking good, and it's going to simulate what it will look like in its final form. Now you've desiccated it, and now I'm assuming you're going to apply the Icon material. Is that right?
Correct. You just place it. We use a little micro brush and just dab it on the front of the tooth, and it has to sit there for 3 minutes, just like the interproximal. Then you light cure it. And we place it again after a minute, another minute again, and you're done basically with the four teeth.
So what does it look like? So the patient came in, I've got 7, 8, 9, and 10 on the facial, and I've got these, you know, these not very attractive white spots after the beautiful orthodontic treatment. And the patient now walks out, and the teeth look perfectly normal?
Pretty much. Yeah, I've had parents crying, and the kid, like, they get really emotional. Yeah, so we've taken teeth that had the white spots, and they look just like normal teeth again. Occasionally, again, if the white spot is really bad, if the oral hygiene was horrible, you may see a little bit of white speckling, but the change is so dramatic, they don't even recognize it, quite frankly.
So what we're talking about here is really the same procedure on the posterior interproximal as we are on the anterior. It's just because they're both caries lesions. It's just that one you identify
Correct.
Via aesthetics and the other you identify via proximal bite wing radiography. Is that right? But it's really the same procedure, just in different locations.
Yes. And just to add a little tip, for example, say on tooth number 8 that we are doing on this procedure, say there was a 1 millimeter cavitation on the facial surface of number 8. You could use this technique to remove all the decalcification and then just restore that little cavitation with a composite restoration rather than making the huge surface area lesion like, you know, the treatment like we were taught in dental school. You know, you drill away all the white. So this allows you to keep the actual lesion very, very small so you don't get recurrent decay.
So the resin infiltration Icon procedure is really extremely minimally invasive. It's probably the most minimally invasive technique. In fact, in most cases, you have no restoration in its traditional form. But as you just said, in some cases, you can combine it with minimally invasive restorative dentistry.
And you get, absolutely. And you cannot see that restoration when you're done.
It's fantastic. And you've done hundreds of those in addition to the interproximals and seen the same kinds of results?
Well, those maybe not hundreds, maybe about 50 or 60. Fortunately, our patients have better oral hygiene.
That's a good
so
thing. That's a good
hundreds
thing.
Of those. That is a good thing, yes.
Yeah, so you know so the fact that it works in both cases in essentially the same way is because you're treating a caries lesion by infiltrating resin into the now porous caries lesion. If the patient were to have waited some time after orthodontic treatment and there's some natural remineralization that occurs from fluoride, that's not really corrective in the same sense. It takes a lot longer. But once that started, I would think it would impair the ability to perform the Icon procedure because you've sort of hardened up that surface. Have you experienced that? You know, that if you wait
no.
after ortho, so you're saying that it doesn't matter if you wait 6 months after the ortho, you can still treat it in the same way.
Oh, sure. You can treat it anytime. I mean, people are doing this procedure on adults.
Okay.
So that's not an issue, no.
So it really works best on those. What about developmental defects that are white, there's opaque lesions? Does it work on those as well?
Occasionally.
Mm-hmm.
And those are a little bit more interesting to do. So those, when I give my informed consent to the parent, because you really don't know how deep the white spot's going to be and how it's going to turn out. So I will give the parent an option to say, look, you know, we can try this. It might work. Or we may have to do like a little facial preparation and do like a little, you know, bonded veneer on the tooth to cover it. So we're just not sure. But I've done cases where it's worked great. And I've done cases where I've had the mom, well, parents are usually back with us when we're doing this anyhow, and say, well, look, this is the best we can do. I think we need to cover this with a composite at this point. And they say, fine. So you have to have options.
So, Rick, the question, of course, that everybody has is, and let's get it answered for them, is how do you bill for this procedure? how has that been accepted? And just tell me about the conversation you have with parents about billing and how has that worked for you?
Well, initially, of course, there was no CDT code, so we had no problem. It was just basically fee-for-service. This is what it is. So now that we have a CDT code, which is $29.90, It's for both surfaces. So it's for interproximal or facial. So you have to come up with one fee that you feel is fair for the procedure. And it's based upon how you, you know, cost of materials, your time, and et cetera. So in our practice, we decided to just base it on a fee of a two-surface permanent restoration. We felt that would be a fair fee for our time and the cost of the material. So, you know, when we talk to the parents, we, you know, we go through kind of like what I, you know, talk to you about is the benefits of doing this. If you were my child, would I, you have an option of watching and waiting, which is an option, which is, you know, what we've done for years and years, or trying this procedure. And certainly the ones that are really close to the DEJ, I'm a little bit more pushy than for maybe an E1, which is, you know, just kind of broken, you know, just starting on the tooth, for example.
Okay. And the parents, their acceptance rate when you give this presentation about what will be paid by them, essentially, how have they accepted this?
Well, we have to explain to them that most insurance, even though there's a code, most insurance companies don't pay for this procedure at this point in time. So we tell them that, and we tell them the fee, and we explain the, you know, the benefits, you know, to the child. And the vast majority, of course, do it, and they recognize this is a benefit for their child. And some of them just say, well, we'll just watch and wait, and we do, and we'll take an x-ray in 6 months, and we hope that it hasn't changes. I mean, our goal is that, you know, watching and waiting is sometimes a reasonable option, and sometimes things don't get worse.
Right.
So that's fine. But the parents are usually on board. The biggest issue I have is when I talk about this is with other dentists.
Yes.
So, as you know.
Yeah. And what is that issue?
So I it's a half full, the glass half full, half empty question, for example. I'm the glasses half full type of guy. So I want to give people options that are positive that will help possibly save the child from having surgical intervention. A lot of dentists are afraid that once they put this in the tooth, if you look at an x-ray, it looks the same. And we tell the parents that. So when I take a post-operative x-ray of this patient, it's going to look like I didn't do anything to this.
So it's
tooth.
Not radiopaque. The material is not radiopaque.
It is not radiopaque.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And that is definitely an issue, which why with a lot of dentists are not using this technique. So we make a point when we do our informed consent, we tell the patient and we tell the parent, that says, look, this is a pediatric dentist's office, so you are eventually going to go find the general dentist. You're going to leave our practice. You need to get copies of our radiographs and our records so we can tell people what we've done.
Yes.
Because I tell them when they go someplace else, chances are they're going to take x-rays and they're going to tell you you got cavities.
Right.
So I kind of have to shift the burden onto the patient at that point in time because they're not in my practice anymore. And I just tell them, you may not remember what I did. You just need to say, you know, Dr. Chait did something to my tooth. I don't even remember what he did, but he said, you need to get copies of my records.
Okay. And then they would understand
that
they would see
do.
The procedure and they would know what was done. And tell me, so you've already talked about the results that this impairs the ability of the lesion to progress, and I think the literature supports that. That in fact, in the comparison prospective clinical trials, the incipient lesions that were not treated with ICON progressed at 2 to 3 times the rate as those that were, and that's what you're seeing in your practice. But how? So is that how you measure success? I mean, tell me how you've measured success and how you've reported that to parents down the road.
Well, we know what the literature says, and we just look at our own records and files for patients.
Yeah.
And you know, keeping the record has been really wonderful for us because then we don't have to go into patients' charts. Once you put everyone, so after we do the procedure, they go right on our spreadsheet.
Right.
So we have a list of hundreds and hundreds of patients on our spreadsheet, which also allows us to follow up with them. For example, if someone didn't come from, we'll look at the spreadsheet, you know, maybe monthly and see, well, we haven't seen this patient for a year. We'll make sure we'll call them again, and we need to follow up on this resident infiltration that we've done so we can usually get them back for their recare examination.
Have you had patients come to you or parents bring their children to you because they've heard?
Yes. Yeah. Because, it, you know, parents talk at soccer games and things like that. So, yeah, the word is spreading even more
now.
Wow. So.
That's fantastic. So what tips do you have? You've done so many of these, and you're really an expert. You know exactly what you're doing, when to do it, how to bill for it, and you've had great success. What advice would you give to others who are just starting? I've never done the ICON procedure. I've heard about it. I'm now hearing it from you, the expert. What should I know? What other tips would you have for others who are starting out?
My biggest thing that the reason that we're able to, I don't want to say convince people, but we convince them basically, is that I'm working on your child who is my child. And if my child had this lesion in between their teeth, I would want to do anything to prevent that from getting surgically treated. And I truly believe in that. And if you believe in that, you do the procedure, you make sure they understand that when they leave your practice, it's going to look like you did nothing. You have to make sure that they understand that. And that's the tip that we give. And by believing what you're doing and having the parent understand, it works really nice for us.
You talked about delaying, cutting teeth, and I know the Dr. Richard Simonson, who's been an advocate of sealants and minimally invasive treatments, he's talked about what he calls the molar life cycle, that once you cut into a tooth, you destine it for further restorations, eventually crowns, et cetera. It's going to get bigger and bigger. So by performing ICON, you're really fulfilling the objective of delaying cutting, if ever, and saving a tooth that's going to be in the mouth for a very long time. And I'm assuming that's how you feel when you've had a successful case with resin infiltration.
We do. And at the very worst, say it fails 10, 12 years down the road and you have to do a filling, you've got 10, 12 more years
that's
on
right.
that tooth without treatment.
That's fantastic. All right. Well, thank you, Rick, for being on Pedo Teeth Talk with me today. I'm Joel Berg, your host. And I thank our sponsor, DMG America, the creator of ICON and other dental materials. And finally, a big thank you to you, the listener, for tuning into our show today.
Pedo Teeth Talk is brought to you by the American Academy of Pediatric Dentistry, the show that delivers cutting-edge ideas for the professional specializing in pediatric dentistry. If you have any questions or comments, please email info@aapd.org. We welcome your ideas for future shows and guests. For more information on the American Academy of Pediatric Dentistry, visit aapd.org.